According to the law of Moses, women could not initiate a divorce. This law created a massive crisis in Israel. That crisis is called the Aguna crisis, and we're going to discuss that on today. Make sure you stay tuned.
You are listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show with your host and teacher, Darius Good. He is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center and founder of Good Treasure Ministries. He is the author of the books Unlocking Godly Wisdom and The Divorced Christian. For more information, visit the website at thedivorcedchristian.com. And now, here's your host, Darius Good.
Thank you for joining us on today. You're listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show. My name is Darius Good. I'm the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center. We are located in Connecticut. This podcast was put together for Christians who have experienced divorce. We primarily look at the scriptures so that we can have understanding of the teachings of Jesus as well as the law of Moses. We deal with the fact that Jesus' teachings did not contradict the law of Moses. We believe what Jesus said in Matthew 17, that he did not come to change, to destroy the law. So there is many errors, a lot of errors in the teachings regarding this subject. I've been studying the law of Moses and Judaism since 2021. I have a much better understanding of the Old Testament, the Torah, the scriptures, the culture, the laws, and how those laws were implemented there in Israel. And it is very eye-opening. And so I'm sharing my notes and my studies with you. Make sure you visit the website, thedivorcedchristian.com. That information is in the notes. We have my book, The Divorced Christian, which is available on Amazon.com. Also on the website is a bunch of links. That way you can see where I get my information from. This is not logic. I'm not trying to make sense of what I'm reading. I'm literally teaching you what I've learned in regards to Judaism and how the culture in Israel existed, how their laws functioned and worked, and it's very different than a conclusion you can simply draw by reading the scriptures. And so links are there, that way you can verify everything that I've taught. You can actually talk to a rabbi and they will explain exactly what I'm teaching, but I am aligning the two, the Judaism and the Christianity, because they do not contradict. They do not. And at some point I'm going to go through the teachings of Jesus so I can show you that there was never a contradiction of Jesus' teachings and the law of Moses. The two always aligned because one was an example. One was the foreshadowing. The shadow and the thing that it is attached to must agree. They can't be contrary one with the other. And so on today, let's deal with a statement that Jesus made. And I want to bring some clarity. At the end of last episode, I made a statement that I want to add a little more meat to so that we are all clear when it comes to Christian teachings. So let's begin in Mark 10, verse 12, where Jesus made the statement, "If a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery." Now, the teachings that you will hear or have heard regarding this verse, some actually say women cannot get divorced based on this scripture. And I've heard some say women can get divorced, but if they remarry, then they commit adultery. Now, here's the major problem with that conclusion. Number one, a woman in Israel, according to the law of Moses, could not divorce her husband. It was required by the law that the man place the bill of divorcement into the woman's hand. Because the law is written that way, they do not permit women to initiate a divorce. So the problem has been taking this word put away and saying that word means divorce. If a woman divorces her husband, and there are certain translations that actually use the word divorce. Not every translation uses it. Majority of them uses the word put away. Now, if you go to the Greek word is apolio. And if you look up that definition, it means send away. Now, this is the era. We have to understand Jewish culture, the way their nation functioned as a people group. Culture means what is right, what is wrong among them, their legal system. And so according to Jewish culture, a man could not throw his wife out of the house. He was not permitted to do so. And so the woman had the right to leave whenever she decided. And it could be for just cause or for whatever the reason. She had the right to leave the house, but she could not initiate a divorce. That could only be done by the man. And so, with that being said, the woman in this case, if a woman shall put away, if she is sent away or she leaves the house, leaves her husband, and be married to another, she commits adultery. Why? Because she has not received a bill of divorcement from the man. She cannot initiate a divorce. That is culturally accurate. That's historically accurate. And that is way the law works today, currently, even in Israel. And so we're going to jump back into this in a few minutes. I do want to explain first, women were not trapped in their marriage. Women could go to the court. They could present a just cause for a divorce. And the judges, they would have to go to the tribunal court, which is the Beth Din. It is a court that required three judges, five judges, seven judges, depending on the size of the court. And if there was just cause, they would then call the man to court and compel him to initiate the divorce. And if he refused, they had other ways of putting pressure on the man to then release the woman from the marriage. Does that make sense? The woman is not trapped in her marriage. And I've heard a lot of Christians teach that, but that is not true. Women did have options that were available to them. Okay, so the word put away does not mean divorce. It means to send away or to leave. This is a woman that is separated from her husband. And I know some listeners disagree, but the disagreement is historically inaccurate. Women could not initiate a divorce, okay? Jesus is not talking about future times. He's not giving a prophetic word for the future. So now when there is a time when women can divorce, well, that time hasn't come, not in Israel and not under the law of Moses. There's been no changes to the law of Moses. So leads us to the question, why would Jesus make this statement? Number one, there was a woman during the time of Jesus that put away her husband. She divorced him and then married another man. She wasn't separated at this point. She married. Who was this? This was Herodias, and she married King Herod. So now Jesus is really addressing an issue that is literally taking place during the lifespan of Jesus. He's addressing a controversy that you can point to and say that just occurred and that's wrong. Okay, so that what she did broke the law of Moses. She broke the law of Moses in two areas when she married King Herod, because she was married to King Herod's brother, Philip. And so John the Baptist spoke out against that breaking of the law. She broke two laws. When John came out publicly against the marriage and saying this was unlawful, then they arrested John, at which point they chopped off his head. Okay? So now we do have a legit reason why Jesus would make this statement. If you want to look at what was transpiring currently during Jesus' time. Now, this statement also leads to another major problem in Israel. That problem was that women that separated from their husbands because they could not initiate a divorce, they did have the option to go to the court and ask the court to compel the husband to initiate the divorce. But what men began doing in Israel was they realized they had a loophole. The law of Moses did not require a man to have a bill of divorcement in order to remarry. The law only required the woman to have a bill of divorcement in order to remarry. Now, if you go to the original law, this is Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. It explains that when the man finds uncleanness in the woman, she has lost favor in his eyes. The requirement was for him to write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. Another major error with reading or the explanation of this scripture, as I've heard many Christians explain, was that the man wrote the bill of divorcement. That's not true. It had to be written by a scribe. And so in the court, you met with three judges. These judges had to be experts in divorce, because if they made any error in the process of writing out the bill of divorcement, that meant the couple was still legally married. They had to write it the way Moses required it. So these had to be experts in the law regarding divorce. In addition to the three judges present, you had to have a scribe. The scribe handled every legal document in the court. So that's marriage contracts, the marriage agreement, which is called the ketubah. It's the bill of divorcement called the get. If there was things regarding land deeds, they were the ones responsible for writing all of those documents. So the scribe worked on behalf or represented the man. The man did not write the bill of divorcement. The scribe did. And then the scribe would hand it to the man. The man was then required, as part of that service or part of that case, to then place that documentation into the hand of the woman. The woman was able to now remarry. So in verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 2, once the woman departs out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Once she has her bill of divorcement, once she has her get, she can now remarry. Jesus was not changing the law of Moses and saying once a woman receives her get, she can't get married. That's only the sending away. And so the woman had to receive the get. She had to depart, or we could reverse that. She departed. Then she received her bill of divorcement. But either way, it was these two parts that were required. And what was going on in Israel was we had the separation of couples, and the law did not state that a man required a bill of divorcement, only the woman. Now, God uses this exact language in Isaiah 50. Look at verse 1. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away?" The two parts. She's been sent away. I need her bill of divorcement in order for her to remarry. The problem this created with the man not requiring a bill of divorcement is he could then move to another location. He can meet a woman and get married. There was no restrictions on him. But the woman was now required, if previously married, to present her bill of divorcement to the priest so that she can remarry. The problem this created was men began to move on. Now, this wasn't every man. Most men were just. Most men kept the law of Moses. If the woman wanted to be divorced, most men let them go, because written into their marriage agreement, the ketubah, they had already agreed if this marriage ends in divorce, this is what you will receive. In essence, there was a prenup decision already in place. They would just pay them and move on. But some men decided they would loophole the law of Moses and they would not make this payment. They found it to be very expensive. And so, and I don't want to go through the details of the massive amount of expense that the man undertook in the marriage. At some point, we're going to go through those details as written in my book, The Divorced Christian, and I'm including it also more details in the new book that I'm currently working on. It should be ready very soon. But men found this loophole to avoid the financial pain that he's going to experience by divorcing his wife. I will say this much. Women in Israel owned land. Sometimes it was given to them by their fathers as part of their dowry. The husband had access to that land. So now to lose that and to lose usury, this income that's coming in as a result of that land, that adds to the divorce settlement. Okay. So there's layers to this. Now, the men moves on and they would just get married, but the woman could not remarry unless she had a bill of divorcement. This meant that there was a growing number of women who are, in essence, trapped in their marriages. And these women were called aguna. This is a Hebrew word. The word aguna, A-G-U-N-A-H, means chained woman. It comes from post-biblical Jewish law, and it describes a woman who was married but cannot get a valid Jewish divorce. She can't get a get. Often, because of the husband being missing or refusing to grant her get. Now, if you go to Ruth chapter 1, you can find this particular word. It's not spelled A-G-U-N-A-H. That is the Hebrew word that means chained. But the actual use of the word in scripture is found in Ruth chapter 1, verse 13. And we know the story of Ruth dealt with the, is Ruth and Naomi, and Ruth's husband dies. So to provide context, Naomi asked Ruth, are you going to wait until I remarry and give birth to another son so that you might marry this son? So at verse 13, what she's saying to her is, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? No, my daughters, for agree with me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. The NLT version says it this way. Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Now, so when you go to the Hebrew, you're going to find where it says the word stay. That Hebrew word is agan, A-G-A-N. And this is where the word aguna comes from. This word again, if you look at the Hebrew definition, means to shut oneself in or off or up. Now, if you look at the Strong's definition, it actually means to debar. For example, from marriage to stay. So this is where you can find a biblical scripture to point to say this is where the word aguna or again comes from, and it means to stay in place, to stay put, or to stay chained, unable to move forward, unable to remarry, as this word is associated with marriage. Now, before we spend a little more time on the subject of the aguna crisis in Israel, I do want to clarify that the teachings that I'm providing, all these teachings regarding the law of Moses, so that we're clear on the law and how that law was executed according to their court system. Then we look at the teachings of Jesus so that we can see how the two align, that Jesus is not changing laws. He's not adding or subtracting or putting limitations in place, but the laws align themselves. What Jesus taught was the law of Moses. But it's important that we understand as Christians, we are not under the law. So everything I'm teaching does not apply to us. What does it mean to be under the law? It means that you are subjugated or under the authority of that particular law or legal system. That means those laws and the penalties that are also associated with those laws would then have to apply to you and your situation, and that does not happen in Christianity. There are no judges and there are no priests to execute these laws. They had a court system. So men and women would take their issues to the court. One of the responsibilities of the tribunal court was to address marital disputes. They also addressed civil issues, civil disputes. And so the law of Moses only applied to those that lived in the nation of Israel. That's under that court system. If you live in America, you are under American laws and the American judicial system. If you live in Canada, you are under Canadian laws. And these laws differ from country to country, and they differ in America from state to state. Not all laws are the same. You can get married at different ages depending on which state you live in. And some of the laws vary regarding divorce, depending on what state or even what county you might live in. I was reading certain laws in Texas that if you moved into one particular county, you had to live in that county for a particular period of time before you can get divorced. These are their laws. So the law of Moses applies to the nation of Israel and the citizens that are under that law. Christians are not citizens of Israel. And so those born in Israel and those that converted to Judaism, they are under the law of Moses. And even today, within the Jewish community, they have priests and they have judges that preside over cases that affect the Jewish community. This is even here in America. So the way the law works in America is if a Jewish couple gets divorced through our court system, through the U.S. court system, that is a civil divorce. But that divorce is not observed by the Jewish community. They still have to go to the Jewish court to be divorced. Now, the Orthodox, especially the ultra-Orthodox, many of the Jewish community still function this way. The progressive Jews might be slightly different. And so if you talk to certain Jews, find out what type of Jew they are. Certain groups will take the civil court ruling, and they're okay with that, but others are not. The woman is still required to get a get from the man. So if the woman marries a non-Jewish man, the Jewish culture looks at their marriage as not being lawful, even though according to U.S. law, she is in a lawful marriage and all of our laws apply. If her husband gets sick, she can go to the hospital. All the laws in place regarding marriage applies to this woman. But according to the Jewish law and according to the Jewish culture that she's a part of in America, they don't view that as a lawful marriage. So the woman has to get a get through the Jewish court system. The women that do not receive a get, they cannot get remarried. If they choose to remarry without the blessing of the court, the Jewish court, what ends up happening is any children birthed out of that marriage, out of that union, out of that illegal, unlawful union, according to the Jewish law and court, the children receive the status of mamzer, which means bastard. They're viewed as illegitimate. And so there are a massive amount of restrictions placed on the bastard, placed on the mamzer, the illegitimate child birthed out of a illegal marriage. This term bastard is not the American version that we use. It's not a child birthed out of a unwed union. This is a married couple whose marriage is viewed as illegal. And it's important we understand the difference. And this is why we've twisted the scriptures applying American law, American culture, and it doesn't work. The church is not under the law of Moses. We are under grace. We're under grace. It's important that we understand this. Jesus did not establish his church under the law of Moses. Otherwise, Jesus would have required every person to convert. You would have to convert to Judaism. All the men would then have to be circumcised and go through that religious process of circumcision. It's not just the cutting away of the foreskin. You'd have to eat kosher food. There's all these requirements that are necessary to be a convert. That is not what Jesus told us to do. We're saved by grace, and we are under grace. We're going to spend more time on this in our next episode. Until next time, be blessed.
You've been listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show with your host, Darius Good. This was a Good Treasure Ministries production. Darius is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center, and he is the author of the book, The Divorced Christian. To learn more about this book and other books written by Darius, or to listen to other episodes of our podcast show, visit our website today at thedivorcedchristian.com. We pray that today's episode has brought revelation, understanding, and healing. Please like, share, and subscribe to our podcast show. And until next time, be blessed.